You are listening to Pardes from Jerusalem, the weekly Parsha podcast from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit www.elmad.pardes.org.
This week's Parsha, Parshat Vayikra, begins a whole new book of the five books of Moses of the Torah. And I think it's worth it to take the opportunity to ask a simple question. What is this book of Vayikra, about? First, you have to know that traditionally, this is the first part of the Torah which was learned in the school system back in the old days in Europe. That sounds strange, perhaps, in the modern years, as we all love to start with the stories of Bereishit, and it is, after all, chronologically first. But it's often explained by the emphasis that this book places on Kedusha, on holiness, which is both a means to and an expression of our essential mission as a people, to connect between heaven and earth, between the finite and the infinite, between the bounded and the unbounded. But of course, if we're going to fulfill our mission successfully, we need to know what the word holy means. Because when I ask people what kadosh means, and they tell me holy, and then I ask them what that means, I often get a lot of head scratching. And if we push a little bit further, I will often receive the response, separateness, which is great, but shows that Am Yisrael, to a certain degree, is still stuck in the Middle Ages. Because separateness is actually not definitive of holiness, it's symptomatic. What do I mean? If you take an animal and you devote it to the Beit HaMikdash, the house of holiness, it becomes Hekdesh, it becomes holy property? Well, really it becomes devoted property. And because of its status as devoted property, it is indeed separate from any other use. Another example is the fact that in Hebrew, marriage is known as kiddushin. It's the ultimate act of sanctity. And in your marriage, you're not defined by the fact that you're separate. No, you're completely devoted to another, and through that devotion, you become separate from others. So a more essential definition of holiness is devotion. This book is also known as Torah Kohanim, the book of the priests, hence the Greek term Leviticus. But what does the word Kohen actually mean? It's usually translated as priest, which is a reasonable indicator of the role that the Kohen plays within Am Yisrael. But it doesn't necessarily tell us what the Kohen's essential function is, and therefore what it really means. In several places at the end of the book of Exodus, just as the word begins to appear in relation to Aaron and his sons and the role that they'll play in the Jewish people, Rashi defines its meaning as close to that of servants. He even refers the words to the sons of David. He even refers the word to the sons of David, who served as ministers in his government. Lechahen is the verb, and that's really a better translation. Ministers, people who are public servants of the highest order. And it's important to know these two things, this definition of Kadosh as devoted, and this definition of Kohen as minister, because this book of Vayikra, is the one which will teach us how we can fulfill the role which was given to us in the lead up to Sinai. Because before we ever receive the content of Revelation, we're told its purpose. Atem tiyu li mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. You will be for me a kingdom of kohanim and a holy people, a kingdom of ministers and a people devoted. Now, of course, it's impossible to look at the whole book of Vayikra in one podcast, but I believe that that old rabbinic saying, hakol holech achar rosh, that everything goes after the beginning, is never more true than in the case of Vayikra. And it has much to teach us about how to be that kingdom of ministers and a devoted people. Because in a sense, the first word says it all. Vayikra Moshe, vayedaber Hashem elav me'ol moed le'mor. And he called to Moshe, and God spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying. Now at first glance, this sentence looks like a throwaway. He called, God spoke, saying, okay, I get it, give me the content. But the very use of three different words for verbal communication begs the question of what exactly is being imparted in this precursor to the content of Revelation. And Rashi picks this up in the footsteps of the sages, as is his style, and he tells us the following. Every usage of he spoke, or he said, or he commanded was always preceded by a calling, a kri'ah, which is an expression of affection, of chiba. And it's the same expression, says Rashi, employed by the ministering angels, as it said, the kara ze'elze, right? And they called one to the other. That's from the book of Isaiah. We'll look at it in a few minutes. He further goes on and says that to the prophets of the nations of the world, God revealed himself through expressions denoting coincidence and impurity, as the verse says, and God happened to meet Bilam, Vayikar Bilam, as opposed to Vayikra. Now Rashi's telling us a few things, and I want to get them straight, because really, they can open up for us the depth of the relationship which is offered in the book of Vayikra. First, that the content of revelation is always preceded by a call, and that that call is a sign of closeness and affection. And specifically, that the language of the call is borrowed from the ministering angels. Furthermore, he tells us that the nature of the call is indicative of a preciousness of relationship, and that it's the opposite of the happenstance relationship represented by the wicked Bilam, who we'll get to, God willing, when we get to the book of Bamidbar. So I want to start with the second point. So Rashi contrasts the nature of the communication in the book of Vayikra with that between God and Bilam, the great prophet of the nations, as he says, and God happened to meet Vayikar Bilam. And what he's telling us is that any communication which is not preceded by a call to presence, a kriya, is an act of keri, of happenstance. Right? Because the word keri is kuf resh yud, and the word kriya is kuf resh yud aleph. It's purely about content and not about relationship. Now that's not to say that Bilam's communication with God was accidental, because it's obvious from the narrative that he actually regularly spoke with God and had a sense that when he turned to God, he would be heard and would receive a response. Rather, it's a sign of the utilitarian nature of their relationship. God doesn't desire Bilam as Bilam. His communication with Bilam is simply necessary in order to move the story of the world forward. Now, what Rashi doesn't actually mention in his comment, because he assumes that you can see it with your own eyes, is the visual warning planted right at the beginning of the book of Vayikra, which is meant to teach us the difference between keri and yakar. Remember, keri, kuf, resh, yud, means happenstance. It means a relationship which is not about intimacy, but is about utility. Whereas yakar, yud, kuf, resh, is something which is precious. And he puts it in terms of a kriya, kuf, resh, yud, aleph, as opposed to a keri, kuf, resh, yud. Right? So what's the difference between a relationship of preciousness and one of happenstance? It's nothing other than the aleph, that first letter of the Hebrew language, which doesn't even have a sound unto itself. Because when you look in the Masoretic text, the text as it's written in the scroll of the Torah itself, you'll see that the aleph in the word Vayikra is small. It's not only small, but it's elevated off the baseline of the writing. This means that the kriya, that call of affection, which begins this whole book, which Rashi says actually precedes every communication between God and Moshe, hangs on nothing less than a little aleph. The Torah places this little aleph and makes it different from the rest of the letters, so it will certainly catch your eye and make you question, places it right at the beginning of the book of devotion and service to warn us about the nature of relationship and revelation. Because if communication ever becomes more about content than contact, we reduce the one we're speaking to an instrument for our desired outcome. And what could be more happenstance, more carry, and less precious, less yakar, than that? Real communication relies on a speaker and listener being present to one another. It's not simply that the majority of communication, as we know today, is actually nonverbal. It's that communication is about establishing a depth of connection beyond any content which is imparted. Just think of how it is to say the name of someone you love. It can kind of happen in two different ways. I'm there in my house with my wife. I've made dinner. The candles are lit. The lights are low. I look into her eyes and I say her name. Now, whatever follows that we've established a mode of communication which is fundamentally different than that if I walk into the house, I'm on my phone, I'm thinking about everything I just did, what I'm trying to do now, and what needs to be done in the next 10 minutes. And as I'm flipping away, I say, hey, call out her name. Same act, completely different relationship. Because as the sages say, Gemara and Sanhedrin, Rachmana Liba Boye, God wants the heart. That beyond the desire to command or impart information, revelation begins with an intimacy of connection. And that's why Rashi tells us that Vayikra is the language which the ministering angels use to communicate with each other. It says in the book of Isaiah in the 6th chapter, in that year King Uzziah died, and I beheld the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the skirts of his robe filled the temple. And the seraphim stood in attendance on him. Each of them had 6 wings, and 2 he covered his face, and 2 he covered his legs, and with 2 he would fly. And one would call to the other, Holy, 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 Kadosh, 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 the Lord of hosts, Hashem Tzevachot. His presence fills all the earth. Now, why are they calling holy to one another? And what does this call have to do with the presence of God filling the whole earth? You know, it seems to me that the threefold cry here is indicative of a process. First, the angels see holiness in other, and they call it out. This, in turn, allows them to see the holiness within themselves, which they then can declare. And only after they've seen holiness in other, and through that experience awakened it in self, only then can they actually experience the true holiness of God. And when we see holiness in others, and when we're holy because we see holiness in others, then God is present everywhere we may look. This is the message planted at the beginning of the book of Vayikra, the book of holiness and priesthood, the book which is meant to train us to be the kingdom of ministers and a devoted people who connect Creator with creation. The message is that we must call out to one another. We call out not as happenstance, not Vayikar, but we take that little aleph and we make sure that those that we call to are not instruments for our desires. They're not tools in our plan. It's not about the content. It's about the contact when it comes with true revelation. And when we call out to one another through seeing the holiness in other, then we can awaken this devotion, this holiness within ourselves and in the whole world. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to Pardes from Jerusalem, the weekly Parsha podcast from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit www.elmad.pardes.org.